Buffy Barker.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan, here in the Engine Pro Studios. A little later in the program, we're going to have Jeff Swindell on. He's going to help us break down the ASDS Lucas Oil National Tour opener coming up this weekend. The Rich Farmer from the Fremont Speedway will join us. We're going to talk about some really exciting things on their 2014 calendar. But my first guest tonight just got back from the East Bay Winter Nationals, where he probably didn't have quite the weekend he was looking for. Started out good, but didn't exactly go exactly the way he wanted. But he did have a big announcement down there that was revealed on the XSAN.com video webcast. So Dane Nida joins us on the line to kick off the show tonight. First of all, glad you made it back safely from Florida. Hopefully it was an uneventful trip home.
Hey, thanks, TJ. Yeah, it was, unfortunately, it was not an uneventful trip home, but we're home nonetheless. And thanks for having me on tonight.
Hey, no problem. Yeah, we just mentioned your deal to go down to Florida. We won't hit on it too long, but it was kind of a last-minute deal. You guys decided to go down there, and things looked promising on practice night, but after that, it just didn't seem like luck could fall your way.
Yeah, you know, it's a matter of you got to be right on all the time down there. I mean, it was, you know, you had 50 cars down there and probably 40 of them were capable of winning the thing. It was an extremely strong field, and anytime where you have an event where you've got three nights of racing and you take points over the first two nights for your, you know, for how you line up on Saturday night, it's a tough deal. You don't really have any room for error. You got to be right on all the time, and unfortunately, we were fast at the wrong times, you know, or when we were fast, I should say, we had some issues come up, and then we just didn't get going soon enough, quick enough, and just put ourselves in a big hole for Saturday night. So, you know, when you run against good cars, you just can't do that. But it was fun. It was nice to get away from the frozen tundra up here and get down into some 70-degree weather. Just didn't work out the way we wanted to, but oh well, that's the way it goes sometimes. That's racing.
And one thing, you know, as a team, you guys did really well. I mean, you did assemble a brand new car basically overnight to keep running there at East Bay.
Yeah, we got upside down in the B main on Friday night, and we didn't really tear up a lot of stuff, but the chassis was bent up front, and we kind of talked back and forth on what to do. We weren't sure if we were just going to kind of tweak the car, move some stuff around to try to make it work. We had Joe Gertie down there helping us out, and we just wanted to have we wanted to know what we had. We had a spare chassis down there with us, so unfortunately it rained on Saturday morning, so we were going to get started about 10:30 and didn't get started until more like 1 once the rain stopped. But yeah, we stripped one car down, put another one together, and went back out there. But it was great having Joe down there with us and helping us out. You know, Miles Hill always gives us good equipment and all that, but Joe came down. Unfortunately, we didn't have him for practice night, and he got there late on Thursday. So we were trying to update him best we could on what the progress we had going on. And he made some changes to us, got us rolling around a lot better, but it was just a little bit too little too late, I guess.
But down there was some good news. You did make a big announcement on the XSAN webcast, and it was all over social media, that you're going to be doing something a little bit different for 2014.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of a big announcement it is. It might be a big announcement for me, but for the rest of the world, it's probably like, who gives a crap? Driving the Miles Hill 07X the last couple of years, we've raced at Oshkosh Speedway every Friday night, and Miles owns Townline Variety and Bearpaw Convenience over there, and they're both about 5 minutes away from the racetrack. So part of my commitment was I had to be there every Friday night, and he gave us the freedom for the most part to go where we wanted to on Saturday. But this year we're going to change it up a little bit different, staying a little bit closer to home, and we're going to run with the 410s and at Attica and Fremont Weekly, along with the Fast Series. So we're not quite sure exactly if we'll be able to run every night at Attica and Fremont or not, but we definitely want to run as much as we can and tackle the Fast schedule as well. So looking forward to a new challenge there.
And, you know, for some people that don't know, geographically, you're in the southeast part of Michigan, and actually Attica and Fremont are a lot closer than a lot of the Canadian and even Michigan venues you go to from where you're based out of.
Yeah, I can make, just for example, it takes me about 5 hours to get to Oshkosh Speedway on a Friday night. And Attica, being the farthest of those two tracks, takes me about 2 hours to get to Attica and about an hour and 15 minutes to get to Fremont. So I can do a heck of a lot of racing and be a lot closer to home, not have to deal with the hassle of crossing the border every week. So we're looking forward to that, looking forward to being able to race and be home by midnight instead of hoping that we're home by 4 a.m. So that'll be pretty cool.
And you are going to, you mentioned, do the Fast Series. How much might Oshwegan fans get to see you this year with that Fast Command? Are you going to do any of the Oshwegan shows?
Yeah, we're still going to get up there and go. You know, the big part is Oshwegan Speedway doesn't start until the end of May. And so we got about a good solid 2 months worth of racing up here before we even get started down there. Then once Oshwegan does open, there's quite a few weekends where either Attica or Fremont has the weekend off, if not both. And so we'll probably on those off weekends head up to Oshwegan. I'm not sure exactly how many we'll do yet, but I'm sure we'll be up there, you know, at least once a month, if not more often than that. And still see some people up there and hang out with my teammates and do some racing up there. So we're looking forward to that. And as far as the Attica and Fremont and Fast deal goes, you know, Engine Pro has been on board as a sponsor over at Attica and Fremont for the last couple of years, or actually for quite a few years. And we also jumped back on board as a Fast sponsor this year. So you know, as you know, I do quite a bit of work with Engine Pro there, and to be able to go back and support some of the events that Engine Pro is supporting is going to be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to the challenge there. And both tracks just do a fantastic job of promoting racing in this area. And now Rich Farmer, I think he's going to be a guest on here in a little bit, but him and Shelley and the whole crew at Fremont Speedway have now taken over the Fast series. So looking forward to being a part of that as it grows and moves into its new chapter here in the future.
Now, your dad's a former Fremont Speedway champion. So obviously you grew up around these racetracks and around, Fremont at least. Attica came online later. But how special is it to be able to do this? This is something that your dad did and was successful at. Does that add to you being looking forward to doing this because it's something your dad did?
Oh, very much so. I mean, ever since I can remember, you know, whenever I've had an off weekend, since I've been racing, whenever I've had an off weekend, I've gotten down to Attica or Fremont as much as I possibly can, and, you know, just to watch the racing down there. The whole area's got such a rich history. It's, you know, it's just one of the hotbeds of racing in the country. And to grow up in the grandstands at Fremont Speedway when I was a kid, I mean, I still remember being a kid and sitting up there and watching, you know, watching the races and watching Rick Ferkel and my dad and Jim Linder and the Rupkes and the List guys and all them guys. It was, you know, it's just pretty cool. And it's, like I said, it's just got such a tough history, and it's always been an extremely tough area to race. You know, so I look forward to the challenge, and basically, you know, it's more of an honor to be able to be down there and race with those guys. I mean, just, you know, even the competition nowadays, it's extremely tough. Anybody that comes to town, whether it's the Outlaws or the All-Stars or no matter who it is, it's the locals give them a run for their money, and it's a very, very tough place to race. So, you know, while I look forward to the challenge, it almost makes you a little bit nervous too at the same point in time. It's like, man, you don't want to go down there and look bad, because the quality of cars down there can make you look bad in a heartbeat if you're not on your game and know what you're doing. So just look forward to, you know, racing with some new guys and some good competition down there.
We talked earlier about what Oshwegan races you might do, but you're going to have the 410 at your disposal with doing the Fast Series. Are you going to venture out maybe doing some other 410 shows? Looking at schedules starting to come out, might we see you in a 410 somewhere up besides Attica and Fremont?
I'm not sure. At this point in time, we really don't have anything earmarked on the schedule. You know, I think as far as the 410 stuff goes, we just got, you know, we just want to take it a week at a time and just see how it goes and try to, you know, try to learn some stuff, try to get rolling around pretty good. And I guess once it gets rolling, you know, you always have the, you know, the local races aren't a whole lot other than Attica and Fremont up as far as the Michigan way goes. You know, you always got the Outlaw show at I-96, so I'm not sure if we'll try to tackle that or not. You know, like I said, as far as anything else, we're just going to wait and see how it goes. Probably give it a couple months and reevaluate the situation and see what we want to do from there.
And I assume the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals is still on that schedule as well.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see how the points are all going to work at Fremont, because I know, yeah, the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals is one that will definitely, I'm certain will definitely be required to be at that one, and it's a big all-star race at Fremont that weekend as well. So I can't remember offhand how the Fremont points work when the all-stars are in town, if it's show-up points or if it's no points or if it's regular points or whatever, but I might have to be praying for a rainout that day or something. I'm not sure, but we'll just have to see how it goes. And we got a little bit different deal shaking up this year too, because, you know, my crew chief for the last few years, Dan McCarron, he's raced a 305 on my off weekends for the last few years now, and he's going to be trying to tackle it full time in the 305 division this year. So we got Tom Schinderly helping us out, but now instead of me having two crew guys, Dan's racing too, so now we're down to half a crew guy each. So I got to pick up a little bit more help along the way and see if we can keep two cars rolling at the same time.
Now, last year, you and Dan raced together in the 360-305 Challenge, which was kind of interesting. And how much smack was talked between you two before you rolled out there for that thing?
There really wasn't much smack. Actually, I don't even remember him being there that night. Was he racing that night?
I don't recall. Was he?
Actually, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was in the feature. He wasn't. Yeah, I think he was... That's right. He was working on my car by the time the feature rolled around. So.
Okay. So I'm expecting a message any second from Dan McGarren there. Dane Knight joining us. And your son has done some racing, a little bit in the karts and stuff. And you're now considered a veteran. We're veterans now. How much longer do you foresee doing this?
I've got no idea, to tell you the truth. You know, I'm having a lot of fun right now. Ever since I got hooked up with Miles Hill and his family and, you know, It's been a wonderful experience. It's taken a lot of pressure off of me financially, but they're also, you know, they've become great friends and good people to hang out with. You know, and I've been supported by a lot of good sponsors. You know, we got the Hills and Gertie Engines has been on board with me for quite a few years and that. And so, exactly how long? I don't really have anything earmarked. I'm not sure. Thank you for pointing out that I'm getting old. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind you.
Yeah, I know. So to answer your question, I'm really not sure. You know, we're just concentrating on having fun. It does, you know, you do start thinking about it occasionally as the kids start to get older and start being involved in more and more sports and so forth. But I'm hoping that being able to race closer to home and being able to have the family, you know, be more a part of that now and be able to make races where they can, you know, where they can leave at, you know, 3, 4, 5 o'clock and still be able to make it to the racetrack. I'm hoping that'll make things, you know, a little bit more fun for all of us.
What's still fun about sprint car racing? You've been involved with it. You're kind of a lifer like myself. Your dad was a racer. Your grandpa's a racer. So after, you know, basically having it, you know, be a part of your life for your entire life, what makes sprint car racing still fun for you?
It's the coolest thing on the face of this earth. I mean, there's nothing better. I mean, in my opinion, I know everybody's got a different opinion on sports and what they like and so forth, but, you know, to like auto racing, to go to a sprint car race and not think that that's the most awesome thing you've ever seen. There's got to be something wrong with you. I don't know. I've been to NASCAR races, IndyCar races, everything. And it's just to me, just watching the raw power of the sprint cars on dirt, I might add, and the, you know, just the side by side racing, you know, the noise, the power, it's just one of the most exciting things that there is. You know, whether I'm driving, working on them, racing, watching, it doesn't matter. It's pretty fun. It's pretty exciting.
I can say it better than that. Dane Knight joining us here on the line. Well, Dane, it's really exciting news that you're going to be out at Fremont and Attica this year, and we look forward to seeing you do that. And who knows, from what I'm hearing, you might even have one more World of Outlaws show to pick from up in this neck of the woods, but we should hear something on that in the next couple of weeks. So, but I'm sure you have some people you need to thank as well.
Yeah, you know, I think I've hit them pretty much. You know, first off, my wife and family and all that for their support, but, you know, Dan McCarron working on the car and being over here countless number of hours throughout the summer and that, you know, and now we picked up, you know, Tom Schinderly as well and Chris Teal when we go racing over there at Osh Weekend Speedway and basically the whole Miles Hill, you know, racing team and all that. It's been fantastic. Miles and all his sponsors and along with, you know, Gertie Engines, supplying the engines and so forth. It's, you know, it's a good team. It's a lot of good people to be involved with. Very fortunate.
I'm glad you got your wife in there. Didn't you forget to thank her at a banquet one year?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. It's only been about 10 years ago now, something like that, but you remind me of it quite often. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, I do, because it was very memorable.
I don't think she was even my wife at the time, TJ, so I don't know. Was that even what you're supposed to count?
That's a good question. I don't know. We should figure that out at some point. But no, I look forward to working with you this year on the Fast Tour. And thanks for all your help with Engine Pro, too, because they're one of our sponsors. I know you contribute to that and are good supporters of us as well. So thank you very much.
Hey, not a problem. I know it's good supporters. Engine Pro has been good supporters of just a ton of local racing in the area. And if anybody needs... if anybody's got a machine shop or goes to a machine shop, I appreciate you putting the bug in their ear to go to Engine Pro for all their parts, whether it's stock, performance, agricultural, no matter what it is. If it's an engine, come to Engine Pro.
And we're going to, with that, we'll take a break. Dane, thanks for joining us.
One more second, TJ. When we were down in Florida, things got pretty busy. Michigan played Michigan State in basketball. I didn't get a chance to catch the score of that game. How did that end up?
And it's time to go to a commercial.
All right.
We'll look that up under the... I knew that was coming. How did I know that was coming? So we'll see what happens in March, but I'm a lot more nervous than I was about a month ago.
Well, hey, at the best you can do is one win and two losses. So.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what else, you know, is pretty good is I'll just have to put on my Rose Bowl shirt. And
There you go. Have fun.
So thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
Dave Knight joining us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Jeff Swindell on. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. My next guest, veteran sprint car driver, getting ready to tackle the American Sprint Car Series National Tour again. What can I say? Jeff Swindell joining us on the line. Jeff, it's a pleasure to have you on tonight.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Take a little break here. We're almost done loading the trailer.
Oh, that's good. So you're getting ready to head out for another full season on the ASCS National Tour. What might be different with your program going into the 2014 season? You had a pretty decent 2013, but what changes did you make going into this year?
Really no changes. I think we learned a lot last year, being our first year back out on the road, and really our first full season with the Hammers family and friends crew, and you know, we brought on some new sponsors last year, and we've added some more this year. So, really, we've just brought some more people on board and trying to run out of decal room on the car, really, more than anything. We brought Heartland Catfish has come on as our major this year, along with U.S. Farm Raised Catfish. And Hedman Headers is still back with us, and we've added Lexington 104 Speedway again. So, they're helping us out some. And, you know, all the regular Hammers crews, still there, so we really haven't changed anything. I think the biggest thing we did is we learned a lot last year, and now we've got a little bit of a setup book to go back with for next year or this year. So I think we're going to be coming out of the box with a little more confidence, and you know, we know we can win whenever we pull in the racetrack.
And I was reading you're playing up to an 80 or 90 race schedule for this year. That's a pretty aggressive schedule. It seems like you're going to be pretty busy. This might be one of the busiest seasons since you're on the Outlaw Tour.
Yeah, I hope so. That's the plan anyway. We've, like I said, we've added a 410 motor, and we got one in here now, but it's really a short track motor. So if they get our other one done, we'll be able to pick up the two races at Vegas out there in another week and a half, and Tucson. So hopefully they'll get that thing done for us in time. We can do that. So, you know, that's really going to dictate a lot of what we get to do extra-wise. So we've got a lot of outlaw races on the schedule, you know, if we get, well, we get that other 410 in the trailer. So if we can do that, we want to race every week. You know, I mean, you can't make no money if you ain't racing. So, you know, we're on the road a lot. So as long as we're on the road, we got all the car parts and everything we need. We got great race cars and good J&J cars and all the best equipment on them. So I think we're sitting in real good shape to do a lot of damage this year to some winner circles.
You went through a period where you weren't racing as much, but now you're basically back down to up to full time status. What drew you back in and want to race at this level again?
Well, actually, I had a bunch of family things that I wanted to come home and get off the road with the outlaw deal back in '99, and it worked out real good. There was a lot of good reasons. You know, the good Lord took me home for a little while, and we didn't race for a while, so we didn't quit going to the racetrack. My wife was always racing, a mini stock, and her brother, and my daughter ran some until she started having a family. And then a buddy of mine caught me over at Riverside one night and had a sprint car, and he hot lapped it, just bought it 360, and he'd been running 305, put 360 in it, and he said he didn't need to be in that car at all. So he talked me into getting in it. And after the races, he said, "Won't you just take it home?" So I took it home, and we started racing locally there for a few years, and just having fun, really, more than anything. And it just kind of worked out real well. We bought the Ralph Yates Ford deal out on the trail in 11. Won their first ASCS show with a Ford, which actually we won the very first Outlaw show won with a Ford back in the day. So that's pretty neat to have in the feather in the hat. So it all just kind of worked out through 2011. They didn't have a big aggressive schedule, only 30-35 shows, I think, with the SCS. So it worked out pretty good, so I could be home most of the time and wrap up some home building that I was doing. And so we finally got to the point that, you know, we need to either go racing or don't. So the Hammer guys got hooked up with them, and they were wanting to get back on the SCS deal too. They've done it several years before with Wayne Johnson and Danny Woods. So, you know, they're great guys. It's amazing. I've never met them before. They're just 2 hours down the road from me, and been racing for a long time too. So I think we've got a good gel there with that. One of the owners is actually here in Memphis. So, works out real well with that. They're great guys. We've had a lot of fun. They don't get to go to races a lot, but, they're really good guys, and they pretty much just give me everything and say, "Here, go win some races."
You could do a lot of different things, but what is appealing to you with the ASCS National Tour? Why is that appealing for you to go do?
Well, not being on the outlaw deal, I mean, that's a very aggressive task. It takes a lot of money, takes a big deal to go run that thing full time with them guys. You know, most of them teams have been together for years and years, and you know, so they've acquired all the stuff they need and all the motors they need, and it's very aggressive to be able to do the outlaw thing. I think the ASCS still lends itself more to us. These guys already had 360 motors and good Fisher motors, so, you know, I feel like we're as good or better than anybody on the track with a motor every night out. So, you know, my son goes with me, Asa. And he's full-time with me. He's homeschooled, so he's with me all the time. Buddy of mine, Curtis Davis, takes off from his job. He owns a station here and takes off and goes with us whenever on all the races. He's made all of them, actually. So it's just us three going and doing the whole thing. And I think that's what makes it a lot easier versus the outlaw deal. You know, most of them guys are 4 or 5 crew members, which some of the ASCS guys are that way, too, you know, so... But we feel pretty comfortable with what we got, and, you know, I think the ASCS deal, they've decided to step their program up a little bit more races this year, last 2 years, so that lends itself more to trying to race full-time. So I think where a lot of our voids are, we can pick up a lot of good outlaw shows. We got that 410, so if we get that 410 program dialed in this year, then we could step back into the outlaw program a little bit, and, you know, who knows, maybe slip in there and win one of them races.
And you've been doing this long enough that with the ASCS tour, you're probably going to some places you haven't been to before, or maybe, you know, some places you've only been to maybe once or twice. Is it refreshing at this point to maybe go to a new place and visit some place you haven't been versus going to the same place all the time?
Yeah, it really has been. You know, Asa didn't get to travel with us years ago and not racing 4 or 5 nights a week like we used to with the outlaw thing. We got a few days off in between stuff here and there. So we've been trying to detour around the country just a little bit whenever we can and see some new sights and do something different. So I've pretty much seen a lot of things that I've never seen before, you know, last year just by doing that. So, you know, that makes it kind of fun too and gives him a taste of what we've done our whole life, you know.
You've been involved in television and writing, and it's not very often I get to talk to someone that drives, but also sees stuff from my perspective, too, behind the keyboard. You've mm-hmm. written for a number of years. What about that is enjoyable for you? How did you get involved in the writing? And for you as a driver, what part of that do you enjoy?
Well, you know, I've never had a problem with not speaking my mind. And when Doug Auld asked me to do this when I stepped off the World of Outlaw Tour, it just seemed like a good fit. So we tried it, and I've been doing it ever since 99. So it's really a lot of fun doing. I like doing it. I like, I don't mind expressing myself. And even if it, you know, puts some bad light on me, I don't care. I'll say whatever's right, you know, what I think's right anyway. And I've taken grief over certain things, but, you know, that's just the way it is. I'm going to speak my mind and say it the way I think it is. That's the one thing I've liked about that. Doug Auld, the editor over there at Sprint Car Midget, it's always been that way. He was at Open Wheel when I first started at Open Wheel in 99, and then actually helped him put a couple people together to start the new venture with the Sprint Car Midget program. So I've kind of been there since its inception, and it's amazing how hard it is to get started on a column. Because, you know, he said just write whatever you want to write, whatever you want to write about. And, gosh, I've been doing this since 99 now. You know, how many old stories can I tell? it gets hard getting started, which I guess with any writer is the same issue. Once you get that first paragraph in, then I can normally zip through the whole thing and get it done, you know, within an hour or so. But sometimes it'll take me days to get that first paragraph in, which, you know, as a writer, you probably understand that.
Yeah, I've been there many a time. Sometimes at 2 a.m. trying to figure out how am I going to make this race sound good.
Yep.
Jeff Swindell joining us here. One thing you've also been involved with that I've admired is you've always been a very proponent and forward with safety items. And last year you proposed some different seat things and some other things. How has that been coming along? How have you been doing in that arena?
Well, I actually didn't do any of it to make money. I haven't made any money off any of that yet. Not that I'm not going to. I think it's going to lead me in certain directions, I think. I've been involved in a lot of the safety issues since then. I did start this back in 2011. I've been working on it since about 2008 and came up with the design and put it in my car. Actually, I couldn't get none of the builders to do it. They all kind of blowed me off on it. Because they don't like change, you know. And so I just took it down to local shop here, RE Technologies, and had them put it in the car for me. We ran it that whole year, 2011. It worked out great. I finally had Maxim build me one just like it when we got the next new car. So once they saw how easy and nice it was for them, it's actually easier for the car builders to do it than not. They jumped all over it. They put a program together and a car together and took it over to the IMI show at Indy, and it took off from there pretty good. Chris Paulson, CNR Radiator, was the head guy over there at IMIS, and he got me into the safety seminar, which we went up and did the sled test stuff at, gosh, I can't even think of the name of the place up there right now that does all the sled tests for any kind of safety thing in the world up there just north of Indy. But we went and did that, and that got me hooked up with several of those guys. Trevor Ashline, I become real good friends with him and started working with him on the belt stuff, and he's helped me get the lap belt deal straightened out some now, so we've advanced on how the lap belts and stuff are supposed to go in with the cars, and they're 2-inch lap belts now, and they're mounted properly, and it's kind of headed the right direction. like I say, Maxim took off for it, and I started running the J&J car. Went up here, J&J is right down the road from me. Jack's been a good friend of mine, gosh, my whole life, really. And got him to put it in the car, and then started showing him how easy it was and explaining it to him. So now he's a large advocate of all this stuff, too. So he's pushing it real hard also. They're trying to get it passed down in Australia, which, you know, you have to go through Act of Congress to get anything different down there as far as safety goes. So they're working on getting that taken care of down in Australia also. So we've got two of the most prominent chassis builders out there that are pushing for this and offering it. And it's starting to pop up everywhere. You know, all the guys are getting it. Matter of fact, I had another guy call me today from the Knoxville area, putting all the seat belts and everything in, which, you know, we've changed to a 7-point system now also. So, that makes you a lot safer in the car. There's a lot of issues that we've learned over the last couple of years since I've really been in the middle of this, and you know, everybody wants to see good things happen. I got involved with Chris Paulson over at the Indy show this last year with the new tether program. Everybody's been pushing that. Doug Amick, which makes most of the IndyCar stuff, tethers, and a lot of the NASCAR stuff too, he's actually making the tethers, and Chris is making all the hardware, and I just put all of that on this car, actually. We've got the torque tube tethers, we've got the rear end tethers, we've got the front axle tethers, and all that on there also. So it's a really, really neat program. I think we're headed in the right direction. I don't think the tether program is all it can be or will be, but it's a great start. I think Chris has got a really nice, neat package that's working for it. I know Brian Butler was the first one to come out with the front axle tether, and I think most of the Knoxville guys have already got those going. Knoxville jumped out and bought a whole bunch of those for most of their teams. They got sponsors for that, so that's great. You know, so there's several people getting involved, and you know, the Outlaws, I think, are making them mandatory come about April. So I think those are the only two manufacturers that are allowed right now that have come out with the tether program. So we'll have it on the car for the first race out there. So, I mean, you know, it's all about, you know, when somebody gets hurt, you need to learn why they got hurt and try to at least help the next guy from not getting hurt from the same reason. And if we can do that, then, you know, if we can just help one guy not go through an injury, then that helps a large family of people around him not go through some of the agonies and grief that a lot of people have through over the years. And that's what's been fun about it for me. I think, you know, we've come a long way. I think we're going a long way. Hopefully we can move a little quicker than what it normally does, which, you know, when Tony got hurt and everybody really got up in arms over all the tether stuff. So, you know, it's opening everybody's eyes. I think several tracks are even looking at mandating my shoulder mount system. We've started a new lap belt system that I'm going to be testing out this year some. So, I mean, we're ever learning and ever growing with it. So I think, you know, the more and more we do, the better we'll get. I've got some ideas on some other safety packages, actually. Hopefully to hold the torso a little better. So, you know, we've got the lap belts in nice now. We've got the shoulder belts in nice now. So I think we've got to progress from there. I think we're all missing the boat on some of these things. So hopefully I can move forward with that over the next year or so.
Jeff Swindell joining us. I've talked to several veteran drivers who weren't containment seat people. They were just the traditional style seat, and they switched to the containment seat. I've had several veteran drivers tell me that that's actually lengthened their career out, not just from a safety aspect, but they feel better when they get out of the race car. Are you finding those same effects?
Well, I actually, this goes back to the 80s, but when I was running the Silver Crown cars, I went down and ran a Winston Cup car. Had an old bench seat in it, one of Cale Yarborough's old bench seats. And by the end of the race, my left leg had been gone numb because it just killed my back. I went down and got a Butler built seat made for the next race we went to, and it was just so much better. So I figured, well, you know, hey, if this is this much better than those 100 lap races, You know, I'll be in good shape at the end of that 100 lap race with a Silver Crown car. So I called Brian. I said, okay, you got to make me one. You got to lighten it up a little bit. We got to do this and this and this. And we put it in the car. And we actually had the shoulder supports mounted on the seat also. We didn't have the headrest and everything, and they weren't doing that back then. But I did have shoulder supports and made a world of difference. And so that was actually Brian Butler's first sprint car open wheel dirt seat he ever made. He never heard of them. So so now he's the top guy there with seats in the country now, I think. You know, he builds more than sprint car seats than anybody. And it's a nice seat. You know, I've always been in them ever since, and I don't see that I won't be running them forever. So
and some reason we lost Jeff there. We'll see if we can get him back here briefly. We somehow lost Jeff mid-conversation there, but he was doing really well. Some interesting points on the safety stuff. We'll see if we can get Jeff back on the line here, and lost connection there. Hope we didn't have a battery die or something, so we'll see if we get him back. And Rutrow.
I think, Jeff Wendell, leave me a message. I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Well,
thank you.
I guess that is the unusual ending. You gotta love live audio here on the web. So Jeff Swindell, getting ready to kick off this, weekend's ASCS National Tour event. And, we'll see if we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna see if we can get him back to wrap up the interview. And, we'll go from there. You're listening to TJ Sideways Live here on Races on the Web.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track
event on earth. Watch as the most daring legend books in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Well, I want to thank Jeff Swindell for coming on tonight. It was a great guest. We're going to have him on again. By all indications, the cell phone battery has gone dead. So we're going to have to move on to our next segment, which brings us to Rich Farmer from the Fremont Speedway. They recently announced their 2014 schedule. And Rich, there's some really interesting things on your schedule to shake things up this year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, this year we've, you know, we got some new stuff with the Legends race and we're working on some other things, and then, you know, all the things that we got going on to get fans involved and just to make it more of a total experience than just a race.
And let's talk about the Legends race for just a moment. For one of the great things about going to Fremont Speedway is learning about the legacy of Fremont Speedway, the Hall of Fame there. You're more likely going to run into, just walking through the pit, someone that's a member of that Hall of Fame probably every 30 feet or so. I mean, there's just people, and they just gravitate towards this. But this year, you guys are going to have a select group of legends saddle up in 305 sprint cars and have a legends race of sorts.
Yeah, it's to be eligible, you had to be 50 years old and have not made competitive laps within 2 years, you know, on a regular basis. It's designed to get those guys to come out and put back and give back to the sport and be involved. And, you know, at the end of the day, it pays really good money. The first 15 cars that committed to this deal get $400 to start the race. And it's $1,000 to win. So, and it's not just we're going to put them out there and let's have some fun. We're going to have hot laps, heat race, feature. I mean, it's a full ninth program with these guys. And, you know, we have 21 of the 24 starting spots filled right now. And it's a who's who's of sprint car racing for sure.
So, what, you know, I know we're kind of keeping the entry list under wraps until a little later in the year. But when do you think you're going to release the first two entries, or at least the majority of the entries for this thing?
Well, we would like to get the field set as far as, you know, and that kind of thing. And it's something we want to build up throughout the year. You know, these people will not be disappointed. We're working on the calculations now of, like, feature wins and championships. And this field is going to represent thousands of feature wins, not a couple hundred. It'll represent thousands of feature wins. And we're thinking it's slightly over 100 track championships or all-star championships that will be represented as well. So it's, like I say, if people ask, I tell them, if you like the all-stars in the late 80s, early 90s, you're going to love this race.
And it's also going to be on Hall of Fame induction weekend, if I'm reading this right.
That's correct. Yep.
So it's going to be a neat weekend. That's going to be on June the 7th. Now, you guys get things started on April 12th, and you know, that's pretty early in the year, but, you know, you're later than some of the places. Hopefully it warms up. Hopefully the snow melts by then. But then you get right into the Fast Series. And you this year have kind of taken the Fast Series under your wing, and it's such a neat deal. And what I think you should be proud of is when I go out to Knoxville, the probably most prevalent question I got was about the Fast Series itself.
Well, the Fast Series, you know, Brian and Scott and Chris and them guys, they've done it. Superb job over the last 5 years with the program. And in all honesty, I feel that without that series, with going through our very tough economic times during those years, you know, who knows what would have happened. But it didn't. You know, we were able to maintain car counts where everywhere else in the country was, you know, losing car counts. Our area was able to maintain. And, you know, so with that deal, gives them a lot of credit for that. And we're just happy to pick it up and to move forward, you know, and take it into the next direction. And we've gotten every single sponsor that donated to the points fund to return. So I think that says a lot for the series and the direction of the series of today. So we're pretty proud of that. And we also have some new sponsors and new people that have come on board. Hoosier Tire signed up today. We're gonna give a free tire away to the to a 410 competitor for every fast event. We're not sure, you know, whether we're gonna do that with Hard Charger or, you know, we're gonna be creative in that department. So we got some really good things going.
And you're a go big or go home guy. I'm looking at your schedule: 5,000 to win for the Boss Series on May 3rd. King of the Hill races the week after that. You have 2-day All-Star shows, 2 Speed Week shows. I mean, you know, the Jim Ford Classic, World of Outlaws. I mean, you're putting it all out there. If you want to see the top flight sprint car racing in Ohio, it's going to come through Fremont Speedway.
Well, and that's we've led the way in 410 sprint car racing throughout Ohio for, you know, since Jim Ford. Jim Ford come out and he says, we're going to have the best purse. We're going to do these things. We're going to have two Speed Week shows and those kind of things. And we've maintained what's been built. I mean, you've mentioned the history of our racetrack. It's 63 years old and, a lot of people have come before me to help build to where we're at today. And, we want to keep the history alive. We want to have that. We want to be the big deal. You know, we want to pay the most. We want to have the best. And, we work very hard to keep that going.
Do you think you took over from a very well-liked promoter? It's a very well-run operation. In hindsight, do you think it would have been easier taking a down operation and bringing it back up? Or is it more difficult to take something that's running, that's highly regarded, and keep it at that level?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, we've also done some stuff at Findlay in the past, and that comes about as low as it gets. You know, the place sat empty. Facilities were pretty degraded. And I'd love to have been able to see how that would have turned out if we'd have been able to keep going. Just unfortunate, things didn't work out with the ownership there. But I think Jim did a great job. But I also think our team and our people have done a lot of things since then. You know, we've brought back the World of Outlaws after 19 years. So that was huge for Fremont Speedway and for our team. We've built the Hall of Fame. That was, our generation or however you want to look at that, and our team. So we've done some big things, outside of those shoes. You know, we've maintained that. We've built that. We brought we are the home of the All-Stars, like they call it. We host the most as far as 10,000 to win or better sprint car programs in the state. So I think we got a lot to be proud of on our own.
And you are bringing back the World of Outlaws. Were you a bit surprised at the turnout you had for your Outlaw show? That place was packed last October.
Well, you know, that show's it's a nerve-wracking show for us because it is it's a huge risk for our facility. I always tell people, you know, Eldora Speedway, they have 5 Outlaw shows a year, and it's not a big deal for them because they can seat 20,000 people. We seat about 4,500 people, therefore our ticket prices are higher and this and that. And, you know, so it's a lot more risk for us than it is for a place like Eldora. But at the end of the day, you know, last October we had September 27th last year, we had the perfect scenario. I mean, we had mid-70s in temperature. We had a beautiful forecast for the entire weekend. I mean, if they weren't going to come out and support that event, then that would have been the time where we decided to hang up the World of Outlaw events because everything was perfect. So, I would debate this with anyone. I feel that we have the most loyal fans at Fremont Speedway than anywhere in the country.
I'd be hard to argue against that. Rich Farmer on the line with us. We had talked last year that maybe the World of Outlaws at Fremont might not be an every year thing, but it did come back this year. Was that more based on the success of last year's show? Did the Kinzer Farewell Tour have a lot to do with that, or maybe a little bit of both, or maybe some other reasons?
Well, there's a couple of different reasons. One, the show last year, in my opinion, I don't feel our fans got their money's worth. There was a ton of cautions. There was just, the show just wasn't as good as I felt it could be. In fact, I even got an apology from Carlton Reamer about the quality of the show. So, you know, I didn't want that taste to sit in the fans' mouth very long. I wanted to get these guys back here. Let's get another show in. Let's show them that these guys are the greatest show on dirt. And, you know, I just wanted to get it turned around. I mean, the success is obvious. It's, you know, when you have a successful show like that, you hate to shelf it. Of course, in our business, it's, you know, it's a tough business as it is. So any success you want, you want to grow on it. And, the other part of it is I feel, the Fremont Speedway is we have the highest paying sprint car program in the state. We do absolutely everything we can to support and promote 410 sprint car racing. And I think that our facility deserves that show as much as any other facility in the state.
Rich Farmer joining us on the line, and that says it all right there. And that's one thing that I think a lot of fans might not know. If they might come to Fremont Speedway, they might not know Rich Farmer, but you grew up basically at that racetrack. You were there peering through the fence. You've grown up around it, and that's, you carry that passion into your promoting. And that recently paid off. You got an RPM award that we get to congratulate you on. How big of an honor was that to get the award from RPM?
We won the Regional Promoter of the Year award, and you know, that's an award that is, you're elected by your peers, you're nominated by your peers to become the Regional Promoter of the Year, and then there's six regions, and of those six regions, you know, they vote again to become the National Promoter of the Year, and we came up a little short there, but you know, just to be the Regional Promoter of the Year is a feat that's never been done by Fremont Speedway, by anybody there. So it's a huge honor for me and our racetrack, and it says a lot about our team. You know, like I've said numerous times, that thing may have my name at the bottom of it, but it should say Fremont Speedway and its entire staff. And you mentioned growing up there and all that kind of stuff. I've been to every race at that place since I was 5 years old, with the exception of two. So been there 30-plus years, and it's been a great experience and a fun ride.
Oh, it's Rich, it's good to have people like you involved in racing. One last question I wanted to touch on a little bit. It seems like every day I'm getting a new 305 track, a race saver track, all over the country. They seem to be springing up everywhere. Your 305 program is a little bit different, but it's been inception for about 20 years longer than anyone else's. Do you foresee a time where maybe the Ohio 305s go the race saver route, or do you think that it's going to pretty much stay the course the way it is now?
I don't see the Fremont program ever going to a race saver type of program, in my opinion. And I've been a driver. I've been a car owner. I still own 305 cars today. We have a pretty good fleet of them right now. And I just, in my opinion, that engine is not terribly reliable. It has some reliability issues, that are going to prevent it. And not only that, I think the cost of that engine, you're going to see it going up. And the other problem with that division as a whole, whether it's Race Saver or ours, now what they're not spending in certain things, you know, you look at DMI. DMI has created a Race Saver rear end. Weighs 60 pounds, takes midget gears. They say it won't work with our cars because our cars are slightly over 500 horsepower. They think it'll damage it. The Race Saver is like a, you know, 430, 440 horsepower car. So there's a little bit of difference there. But if anything, in all honesty, I mean, I don't know if you had Dane on yet or not, but, you know, I'm working with the company that he works for. We're going to try to develop a, alternative engine, which will be very similar to a 305, but at a much lower cost. Gonna, you know, break out of some of the rules to make it more competitive, but, build the engine and build the box of rules around it. And I really think that the crate program with Chevrolet cannot be ignored. I think that's something that's, it's going to grow some legs, and it's going to be a, you know, a real thing here in the future. The, you know, the 602 crate engine, $3,150, you know, compared to what we're spending today of near $20,000. So I think that is, definitely going to be a factor in the future.
race fan, car owner, promoter, former driver, unless he's suiting up for the Legends race, Rich Farmer.
Not old enough.
You're not old enough yet. That's right. I forgot about that. So there's that age requirement thing in there. What a sticky point. You can't fudge that with promote, get, you know, doctor up your birth certificate or anything, or get you in there.
We had Kevin Huntley contact us about running the Legends race, and he turns 49 in May. And it was questioned whether or not that could be done, and we made the rules, and the rules are what they are, and they're going to be very firm. And, you know, we hope Kevin comes around next season and wants to do it.
And there you go. That's the kind of guy Rich Farmer is. Well, Rich, I always enjoy visiting with you. It's fun with the passion that you run Fremont Speedway with. If people want more information on Fremont Speedway, where can they find it?
You can go to FremontOHSpeedway.com. All of our schedule and everything is there. We're actually in the process of building a new website. You can go to, you know, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Tuesday night we are actually putting out our first, our own first web show with The Last Lap. You can be able to tune into that at thelastlaplive.com. That'll be a live internet show with, you know, video and audio. So that's kind of the first of its kind around here. So that'll be a pretty cool deal as well.
Always thinking outside the box. Rich, great to have you on. Look forward to getting over to Fremont Speedway a little later this season.
Absolutely. Anytime, TJ.
All right. Thanks. Rich Farmer from the Fremont Speedway. And I can personally test this. I go back with Rich from his car driving days and car owning days. You're going to have a hard time finding someone more passionate about the sport of sprint car racing, just racing in general, than Rich Farmer. And Fremont area, you are lucky to have this guy. He is both him and Rex there at Attica. I can't speak enough for both of them. They both do a great job, but Rich does an exceptional job there at Fremont, and always good to talk to him. That's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. I'd like to thank Dane Nida, Jeff Swindell, and Rich Farmer for joining us. We'll do this again next Monday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways.